Okay, I'm fine with me.
She is what?
Remember, I got the key.
Okay, Bokashem, thank you so much, so much, and apologizing for the Israeli late, traditional late. Thank you very much for inviting us. And I'll tell you what my problem is, okay? We'll start with that. The thing is that I'm a person that since the beginning of my tshuva, all this world of faith, all the biblical stories and all the ancient tales on the righteous ones made a lot of sense for me. Like, in my mind, it's a very natural thing that the righteous ones are able to fly, to cross the sea. Like, it's something I relate to. I understand it. Like, it's not like, it doesn't look like a huge miracle for me. I don't know why, but like, maybe I was a child with a very developed power of imagination. Like, I don't mind. Like, I was jumping from the porch and trying to be Superman and all those things. Like, with this process of me being religious, getting into the world of tshuva, and thinking to myself, like, dreaming that I'll find it between those ones that offered the Bible as the main choice, those rabbis, the teachers, the yeshivot, the religious world, I realized that, like, I'm taking myself into the most boring, gray period of time of my life. Like, it doesn't exist over there. Now, how can it be? You still see it, but you can see it on the outside. Where Star Wars, the Avengers, like all the Hollywood movies, like, oh, now you have the Dark Knight, Batman, 3 movies and another 3, and like them, and they're fighting Batman and Superman. Like, you see that the power of imagination, like the true hope, still exists, but where? Outside. Go to the religious neighborhoods and seek for those truth seekers. Go look for those people to inspire you, to give you the passion for life, the energy to go, to change your life. Like boring. You can't do that. You can find them. And it's not even that it's rare. It's like impossible to find. But how can it be? Immediately when you open the Bible, immediately when you open the Midrashim, you read those ancient texts, you open Gemara. The same things that they're sitting and learning every day, every page you can see wonders. You see that Rabbi Meir Baal HaNes, he was the one that made miracles in his generation. You hear Rabbi Akiva's story, you see Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai sending fire from this place to the other, thunders, rains, everything is changing. Animals are coming and fighting for them. The sea is opening, the Jordan River, once after the other, and he's flying on a holy chariot made out of fire with horses that, okay, so that's the source of all that miracle, all those miracles, all those wonders, like, and we lost the access to that. Like, it's sealed, it's blocked. You need to sit on the books, and you need to find your way into the Kedusha. And then even if you try, okay, so like, I'm going to try. And you come closer and closer to those ones that everyone are saying that they are righteous, that they are pure, and they are blessing you, and you give money, and you make pidyon nefesh, and you're flying, and 3 times a year, and you do whatever they say, and nothing happens. Like, dry as the wood. Like, you find yourself empty-handed, and how can it be? So I'll tell you, that's my problem. But I also have the solution for that. The solution is that as long as you'll try to find the solution, the salvation, those wonders, the blessings outside, in a foreign source, in the mouths of people, in the blessings of rabbis, in like that someone else will guide you, will do the job for you, that he will open the door for you, it will never take place in your life. Even if you'll give $1 million an hour for charity, let's say you're a billionaire and you have this ability, and you, it won't help you. You're gonna stay exactly who you are with your issues, with your problems. If you're ignoring people's emotions, you won't have blessing in your life. If you're selfish, if you're cruel, if you're arrogant, you need to work on those things. And if you won't unlock your true potential, if you won't set yourself free from your inner prison, you will never be free. If you won't get back into your childish mind, into that innocent mind, to that naive set of mind, that the Creator can make wonders for you, you'll never have them. If you will always stay adult and serious and always going to make sure that everything is safe and protected and well guarded, and for sure that's the right way and that's the mainstream and that's how you should, if you're always going to be that serious adult, so that's the path that you're choosing for yourself. And you're going to be stuck in that prison for life because that's the way you choose to run your life. And no one can save you from that. Everyone can desire your money. Everyone can desire you to be included in their list of salvations. I don't know what. Everyone are ready to pray for you in this grave, under that tree. A salvation will not come from that. A salvation can come to a believer only when his faith starts spreading its own wings. Only when you let yourself fly with the power of your imagination. The salvation that took place in the generation of Moses was the salvation that fit to Moses' character. Moses was an individual. In a different generation, when a different salvation was needed, different righteous people were those ones that were appointed on bringing that salvation, and it came down based on their prayers. And the last salvation that will take place based on the mindset of those believers of the last generation. We are the designers of the redemption of the wide world. We with our dreams. We with our hopes. And this is why it's so important that we won't give up on our dreams, on our hopes. Because when we are praying for our salvation, you cannot pray for my salvation. Even if you care about me, you can stand for 5 minutes to pray for me. You can, you know what? You love me so much, you care about me so badly, you'll stand for an hour. For a long time of my life, for a long period of time, I was praying for my rabbi that was my rabbi for more than half an hour every day. For more than a year, I was dedicated. I put half an hour every day to pray for him, for his shalom bayit, for his happiness, for his health, for his wealth, for his children, for his family. Every day, more than half an hour, every day. But still, it's only a certain amount. Depends in the love, in the dedication, in how much you are ready to sacrifice, to give, and to invest. Okay, it's great. But you cannot pray for someone else like you pray for yourself. And if you will try to pray for me, you won't achieve all those wonders that I really need with your prayers, because your prayers doesn't have that engine, that powerful engine to bring all the salvations I need. But if I will pray for myself, and I'm going to scream from the walls of my heart, I'm going to scream, I'm going to cry, I'm going to express all my emotions, I'm really going to beg, and I'm really going to thank for all the good, and I know myself, I feel my pain, I know my needs, I know exactly how much I'm afraid, and I know exactly how much I want those things to take place in my life, so I can really express myself with all of my heart in a perfect way. And that will be a prayer that will be accepted. And if I will pray for myself and bring down my salvation, they won't answer to your needs as well. So I need you to pray for you, because you need to pray for you, and you need to pray for you, and every one of us must pray for himself. And we can pray for each other, and to strengthen each other, to support each other, to inspire each other, to help each other, to push each other as much as we can. But in the end of the day, if you care about something specific, like the dolphins and the oceans, I cannot pray for that subject. I can mention it in my prayers. I can say it, but like, I'm not that green person that will go and stop the roads for the dolphins. It doesn't run in my blood. Something else is running in my blood, and it's not cocaine. Something else is running in my blood, and I need to pray for that. And you, not allow to abandon your dreams and your hopes. Because the rainforests, they need your prayers. The prayers of those ones that really care about that green lung of the world. They really care about it. They really see the animals in front of their eyes. Their scream, their sorrow, their pain is something that is tearing those people's hearts from within. So those people that feels that pain, that feels that need in the world, they are those ones that when they will open their mouth with an honest prayer, their prayer will be accepted. And they will be the redeemers, they will be the saviors of that green lung, of those rainforests. And you will pray for the salvation, and you will pray for your needs, and everyone will illuminate the area that he's connected to in his life. And the salvation will come based on our prayers. Like that Hashem, the Creator, said to Moses. He told him, Salachti ki dvarecha. I forgive them like you asked me to. Like you asked me to. In the way that the person is walking, that will be the way that they will lead him to walk in from heaven. They will assist you. They will answer your prayers and your needs. The way that the Creator is talking to you in your life, the miracles that you see, the wonders that you have, the private and individual supervision on your life is not similar to mine. It's different. The Creator is talking to you in different signs. He is sending completely different messages to you. He wakes you up, touching those keys that will wake up your heart, because He knows you from within. He knows exactly which music to play for you that you will say, hey, something is weird, something going on here, something that will wake up your spirit. He knows how to play on your strings because He knows you like a parent knows his child. And He knows you from within. And He is playing the same music that will wake you up for a reason, that you will wake up to recognize yourself. Because He's waking up you from within. He's waking you up from inside for you to recognize who you are and what your mission is. One's supposed to be the best nanny in the world. One's supposed to open a new hotel. One needs to design houses, and one needs to put those bricks one on top of the next, because that's your mission. And when the redemption will take place, we're going to see those wonders happening. And I'll explain to you, because today, for us, after thousands of years of exile, which kind of exile? Exile of forgetfulness, that we don't have a clue who we are. There is a darkness that is separating between every generation to the next, and it's blocking our eyes from remembering who we are and what's our mission. And that blocking is standing and blocking us from recognizing who were our real, true ancestors, where we came from, where that journey started from. Today I learned from the prophets, from the story on the death of Yeshua ben Nun, the student of Moses. On his deathbed, he's commanding and talking to Am Israel, to the nation of Israel, and opening their hearts and telling them and warning them and rebuking them and offering them and suggesting them and helping with the last very inspiring speech. And he's telling them, you remember that your ancestors, that Hashem made a blessing, a promise, a covenant with Abraham. And Abraham, he inherited that to Isaac, and Isaac to Jacob, and Jacob to the tribes, and the tribes went to Egypt, And from Egypt, Moses and Aaron took you out, and now I'm finished entering you to the Holy Land of Israel, and now you're here. And I said to my children that I read it for them. I told them, for them it was easy. Like, they are the children of the generation that came out of Egypt. Separation from Abram for them is only 250 years. Like, it's very close. They know that their parents came out of Egypt. They was born in the desert. Like, why are we in the desert? Because, like, a couple of hours ago we were in Egypt. It's very close. They could smell Egypt. They knew exactly what took place 100 years ago. Like, did we know exactly? You still have the pictures, the photos of your grandmother. 100 years ago, you have the pictures of your great-grandfather. You still have something. You know, he came from Europe. You know, he came from Syria. He came from Iraq. Everyone knows something. Like, 200 years ago, it's close by. But 3,000 years ago, it becomes hard. It's getting harder to remember. You have the Bible, you have many testaments, you have many stories, you have a lot of books, you have a lot of inspiring rabbis that are talking, you have a lot of information spread around you, but really to make the connection between me and my needs and my new Nike and my connections to this world in today's time, like, I'm in a rush. What are you talking about? It's very hard to make that connection. But that connection is hard to make only when you look for an external outside connection. Only when you want the salvation to come from an external source. When you want to see with your eyes that your great-grandfather was Abram. Okay, I want to see that. Tell me the story. Grandpa, where you came from and where is Abram in that story? If you can't see that, you can't feel it. But that's a long way to search. There is a shorter way. The shorter way is that you're going to look deep into yourself. And over there, it's very close. Ask yourself, who am I? Be brave to stand in front of yourself and to confront your fear of confronting and dealing with who you really are. When you're going to stop that crazy train of life and just going to stop and hold and breathe and wait and ask yourself, who are you? What are you doing in this world? What's your mission? You're going to see a lot of junk, first of all, attacking you. All your fears, all your lack of confidence, all the trash. When you want to enter to a new house, it's a problem. First of all, you need to deal with the mess. You cannot, alright, I'm going to enjoy the house. Even if you bought a brand new house and you're the first one to leave, it's an issue. Like, it won't be easy. It's not easy. You have to deal with the leftovers of all those builders, of all those workers. You have to clean. You have to wash it several times. You have to throw away the garbage. You have so much waste to throw. It won't be easy. And then you need to settle things. You need to fix. You need to organize. It's a hard work. But in the end of the day, you are designing your own house. So it's worth it. When you're getting into yourself, even though that it's hard in the beginning, because the first layers are the layers of trash. It's the layers of noise. It's all those things that you are plastering your soul with, that you're covering your true being with, all those husks, all those coverings that you're creating to yourself, all those things that you are blocking your eyes with because of your fear, because of your negativity. Because of your precious pressure, because of your traumas, because of your old, old, ancient feelings that hurt so badly that you don't want to feel them anymore. And every time that they're coming up, you turn on the YouTube and you move to Facebook and you check your emails and again reading your WhatsApps and open those books and going to run and to jog and to play and to dance and to do whatever, sports and gym and jogging and all your hobbies. And why? And you have to fix and you have to clean all those distractions. You need to get rid of them first before you find your true self, because they're blocking you. When you read Bereshit, the first chapters, you see the Creator, first of all, He created heaven and earth. And then he created the light and darkness. You have light, you have darkness. Only after a while, suddenly he decides to hang the sun in the sky. So what does it mean? It means that the light was there before the sun came to the picture. The sun came only later. And the Creator, he already made the decision to make light. Now today for us, that we came after the sun is already broadcasting that light to the world. So today for us, the light depends in a source, in a physical source. But it was only our imagination that caught that natural fact like that. In reality, the Creator created light earlier, before. And he depend one on top of the next. Also the vegetables, all the flowers, all the trees. The Creator created them in the beginning. And only after he completed and finished the creation, he decided to plant them in the world, on earth. They were already created, but only in power. They didn't have no physical existence. All the fruits, all the trees, all the grass, all the weeds, all the mushrooms, everything was already there. Where? Somewhere. Beyond our reach. Beyond our physical ability to hold, to taste, to smell, to see, to feel. And when he decided to plant them, so then he did only a few days later. But for us, to create something, it means to seed it, it means to plant it, it means to put it. It means that you must have that grain, you have to have that seed. Where is it? Oh, now I can believe you. Why? Because you came later. And therefore, you cannot understand the complete picture. If you try to check the world with your eyes, you're never going to find the completion of it. You won't understand it all, because it's not only external. It doesn't have only the outside to see. It's got a core. It's got a center. And that center is spiritual. And who can understand the center, the purpose, the core, the reason, the meaning of creation? The one that knows himself. Only when you will find your true self, you're going to understand how all the systems works. Only when you will find why you're so scared of relationships, why you're so terrified from money issues, why you don't know how to handle certain things, only when you will break those patterns and you're gonna set yourself free from all those things, you will be free to achieve and to fulfill your dreams in the world. Because as long as you put all those fears on your back and you give them space, and you keep on feeding them by not going to do what you like, by keep doing things that you don't like, by still not having relationships with people that you feel like you are connected to them, and you choose different relationships with people that you feel more safe, you feel that they will protect you, you feel that they might help you, that you have some benefit in the relationship with them, but you're not doing what your heart dreams. You don't go with your spirit. You don't let your soul shine. You still let your fears run your life. So then you cannot fulfill your dreams. Because you're not allowing yourself to dream. And the evidence for that is that 90% of your mornings you don't remember your dreams. You wake up after hours of being separated from reality, fake, imaginary reality of our life. When your true self is trying to break through those curtains, to break and remove those walls of separation, and try to scream from within. And every time he starts talking, you must eat something sweet, and you must check your phone immediately, and where are my car keys, and what's going on, and who are those, and you distract your thoughts. You don't want to feel, you don't want to be, you're too scared. Why? Because you know that it will take over you. You're afraid of your own potential. You're afraid of your own power. Because that power will give you wings that will force you to fly. And you're afraid to lose the ground. You're afraid to lose your grip, your safeties, your confidence, your securities. All your fears are fighting with you. That you won't be free. And as long as you feed your fears and you don't let yourself to take off, you will never fly. You'll never reach heaven. You'll never understand the real purpose of creation. And I'll tell you some small tiny thing about it. The Creator, He said that we will live in heaven. That was His desire. That was the purpose of creation. Now, what does it mean to live in heaven? Adam and Eve, they lived in heaven, right? What were they doing over there in heaven? They were walking naked in the forest. They were walking hand in hand, friendly, talking, chatting, looking at animals, eating fruits, like best friends in the world. They didn't worry. They didn't learn Gemara. They were not fighting with each other. They were not arguing. They were not building. Everything was already fixed. Everything was perfect. What they could do with all of that perfection? Enjoy it. That was their role. That was their job, to enjoy it. Now, I know from my life experience, for an example, that my wife, she's much closer to that nature than me. Why? Because she's just looking for simple life. That's my wife. She likes simple life. She just wants to walk with her husband hand in hand in the supermarket and to enjoy life. She doesn't want to sit and plan and fight with the world and go give lectures in Woodmere and then in Williamsburg and then in Brooklyn and another area and then we need to go back to Jersey. No, no, no. Can we park for an hour? Like she's asking, begging, can we just like sit and have lunch, like something simple? Why? Because she's closer to that understanding of what the real true nature of creation is. Now you're gonna judge her. Why? She's not thinking about the purpose. She lives the purpose. That's the purpose. When you're getting married, the purpose is just to love your wife and that she will love you. When you have children, it's to love them, to care about them, and to spend your life with them. Now you feel that you lack of some knowledge, you feel that you're commanded to do something, you feel that there's something to do, great, find the right spot for that and do that as well. If that's part of your mission, if it burns and shines from within and you must accomplish that, if you're going to bring it to the dining table and you're going to tell your wife that you dream of something, she will want that. She will be happy to help you. That's the purpose of relationship. If you live with your wife in heaven and everything is perfect, there is no problem that you're going to take an hour or 4 hours for your mission and going to come back with good news that you accomplished something for your mutual life. No one will have no problem with that. When the problem starts, when you are hiding in your mind, when you are scamming in your thoughts, when you're terrified, when you let your fears run your life, when you feel that no one understands you and you have evidence for that and for that you must plan and you need to think deeper and you have to have another plan and you have to find excuses, so you start lying. And then you separate yourself from heaven because you cannot go to the grocery store, you cannot go to the supermarket, you cannot pick up your own children. And in the end of the day, you find yourself after 20 years that you haven't spent one quiet hour with your family. And maybe it sounds so drastic, but even people that spend time with their family are not really letting themselves be free with their family. And they're sitting like police officers on the children and checking and always judging and criticizing, and they're always looking at the watch and checking their phones and always busy, and they have their job and they have their work and they're not there. You're not with us. Where are you? And when you're being asked, where are you? Immediately attack. What do you mean? I came early from job, from work. That's why I'm here. I'm here sitting with you. And now you start asking me, why are you doing that? Why are you attacking? You're attacking because you are trying to hide something. Not because someone violated your privacy. She just asked you, what's going on? Where are you? What are you thinking? She wants to live in heaven with you. She wants to be a partner with you. She wants to be able to walk with you in heaven. Now I'm going to ask you the question. Do you want now to blame yourself for that? For your mistakes? For your fears? I'll tell you no. You know why? Because that problem, that pattern, started much earlier, before of your time. It's written on Adam and Eve that they were walking and having fun in heaven together. And suddenly we're finding Eve alone walking in that place, alone in heaven. Why is she alone? Why is she alone? Oh, it's written that Adam and Eve were together before the right time. Before, they were not waiting to the right time to be alone, to be together. And they were too anxious. They loved each other too much. They had passion for each other. They couldn't hold themselves, and they decided not to wait for Shabbat. And they decided to be together before Shabbat. And then, also before Shabbat, Chava, Eve, is finding herself walking alone in the garden. I'm asking you now, Adam, where are you? Where are you? Where you went? What happened? You had your passion to your wife, so stick to her. Why, after being together, you walk to a different place? Why you let her go and be alone? Open to the temptations of the snake. If they were together, they would have the power to stand against the snake. But because that the way that they were together was not a pure way, means that when they were together, they were not together based on their real true love. Just they were based on their passion, on their lust. And lust is bringing to separation. Because after you fill in yourself and you're satisfying yourself, you're already full. And what happens to you? You become a fool. You lose your mind. When you have all your needs, when you've been satisfied completely, then you don't need anything anymore. But when your will and your real desire is to make someone else happy, is to satisfy someone else, it's even to pleasure someone else, in that place, you will never know what complete satisfaction is. Because for you, there will be always something more to do for him, for her. You will always going to think, okay, how can I help? Even if it's to cover, even if it's to say goodnight, even if it's to give something small, even if it's to stay awake and quiet. You will always going to pray. You will always going to think. You will always going to stay standing by his side, by their side. Because you love them and you're doing it for them. And your passion will never end. And for that, the satisfaction and the joy will never end. Because you will always do more and you will receive the satisfaction from that. From giving and not from receiving. You will feel humble and ashamed to receive. When you will receive, you will feel that something is not complete. And you will look for the way to compromise and to help her to understand that you want to give now. And you will love. And you will care, and you will hug, and if you can't do anything, you will pray for her happiness, for his happiness. It doesn't matter from which side. When they found themselves connecting themselves to each other because of certain lust and not because of pure love, they found themselves separated from each other. And then, when separation comes, the snake comes, the evil inclination comes. And when he comes, and you're separated, and you're afraid. And because that you sinned, because that you violated something, because that you were selfish, not the ancient sin of Adam and Eve, and not what that is written, and not what the halacha is saying. You were selfish. You were not open-minded. You were not nice. You were not honest. You were not your true self. You were scared. You were terrified. You were selfish. You decided to take something with force for yourself. When you do something like that, you go against your true nature of being a righteous person that influences, that supports, that loves. You block the light of your own soul when you're being selfish. And then you're open to all those damages that can take place in the life of a sinner. A sinner because he separated himself from being who he really was. And for that, we must go deep into ourselves and ask ourselves in front of the mirror, who am I? Who am I? What am I doing? I have a relationship. So, okay, why do I have this relationship? What's my intention? What are my motives? What are the reasons that I am now in this relationship? Am I in this relationship because of my fears? Because of the pressure? Because of my anxieties? Or that I am in it because I love, because I care, because I want to give a chance, because I do have hope? If your motives are good, you will succeed. Keep on pushing yourself to work, even if your goals are in heaven. Even if you believe that you want to fly for a good cause, for a noble cause, for a divine purpose, because you believe in the power of heaven that you want it to be revealed out to the world, you will fly. You will fly like that the Levites fly, like that Hanoch fly, like that King David fly, like that Elijah the prophet fly, like that Elisha fly, like that many righteous people fly. You're going to say to yourself, oh, they fly because they were righteous. No, no, no. They became righteous because they invested their mornings, their noons, their evenings, their nights on fulfilling their destiny, on finding a purpose to their lives and putting all their effort and sweat and tears and blood, all their power into that. And they broke it. They broke the code. They found the answer. They realized exactly who they are and what was their true potential. And they found out that they have wings, that they are above the power of gravity, that they can loose their connection to physicality. And they can fly. But we are choosing to narrow our minds and not to dream anymore and to satisfy ourselves with our small pleasures. I'm gonna eat a little bit. I'm gonna drink a little bit. I'm gonna rent this place. You know, I'm gonna buy the house over there. Everything is perfect. I'm gonna drive that car. Oh, that's a fine job for me. No, it's hell for you. And that hell will chase you till the last day of your life. Because you are not a born-to-be doctor. You don't love your patients. You don't really love that profession. It makes a lot of money, at least enough to pay the mortgage and to have that car and to pay tuition for your Jewish children. Okay, you're covering everything. You took care of all your problems. But the main problem of being who you are, you dropped it. Because when you were 5, you were a ballet dancer, and you liked to dance. And you were dancing like the wind, and you loved music. And you were flying in your basement, in your living room, from one side to the other. And you were dreaming, and you were hoping, and you were swinging, and you were making circles. And you were in heaven, and you dropped that dream. Because of the negativity of your parents, because of lack of faith of your teachers, because of your lack of power, because of you listening to your fears and dropping your dreams. So maybe it's okay. You don't need to judge yourself, to hate yourself, to blame yourself, but to keep on following your fears till the last day of your life, it's like to bury yourself alive today. And for what reason? Because you're scared? The only way to remove your fears, that they are your worst enemy in the world, is to confront them. It's to break them to pieces. It's to tell them, okay, hit me, and now what? They are screaming at you. Your parents won't accept it. You won't have no more money. Your future is lost. They're going to excommunicate you from the community. You won't be able to walk into that shul. And I'm asking you, and then what? And now what? There are many shuls that I cannot walk into. And now what? So it means I'm not Jewish anymore? There are many communities that are not welcoming me. And now what? Does it change my life? There are many professions that I cannot work in. There are many jobs that I cannot even apply. So what? My father didn't accept my tshuva process. Also my mother. Also my siblings. And now what? All of my friends, they left me alone. And then what? I found my true love. And I have amazing children. And we're having a very inspiring life. And we're passing one challenge after the next. And we're facing many challenges. And we have and breaking many obstacles. And you can't imagine, because if I will have 3 months to tell my real, true life story, not like that 1 hour and 10 minutes that I gave Loa 2 weeks ago. If you will listen and hear my life story, it's like that I lived at least 800 years in my 40s. In reality, every day is full with life experiences, with difficulties, with challenges, and periods of time. Every 3 months, something totally else. One from heaven, one from hell. One from the moon, one from the sun, one from Mars, and one from I don't know where it came from. So many surprises. Once with the car, once with the house, once with the family, once with the health. Once you have to go to this to a surgery, once you need to go to the States, one you need to fly, and then you lost your suitcases, and you want to do this, and her parents, and your parents, and you want this, and your dreams, and everything goes by the drain, and they're calling from the bank, and every day, good news, hi, new challenges, and you work, and you work, and you work. The end of the day is measured if you feel complete with your true self, with who you are. The real true success of a person is not if he has this amount of money or if he bought that house. You can be the most happiest person walking barefoot and you will be happy. And you can have the most famous and expensive and fancy shoes and you'll be miserable walking in them. It's not what that really fits your foot. You need to find your true self. And as long as you're afraid of people's opinion, as long as you let people run your life, not people really runs your life, your fears from people, it's the power of imagination that blocks your life from real true prosperity. From really blooming and growing and rising to fulfill your dreams. To be who you are. Now in the end of the day, when you will be who you are, people are also afraid to be who they are. They say, okay, but what do you mean? Now I'm going to drop the religion. I'm not going to be religious anymore. I'll tell you something. If you are inside the religion because you're scared, you're not nowhere. You're in hell. You're not with Hashem. You're not with the Creator. Maybe you dress like a penguin. Maybe you cover your head with a fabric. I don't know what. Maybe you're acting weird in a way. I don't know. Maybe you have your customs, your tradition. You have stories to tell to your poor children. Maybe they will be so bored that they will go to sleep at night. No worries. Maybe. But in reality, you think that you hold something with your hands? You are dead. When you're sad, you are dead. When you're depressed, you are dead. You wake up and you read from the Seder. It's Friday afternoon, so you go to the synagogue, and over there you look for reasons to talk in the middle of the prayer. And when you're eating in Shabbat table, you don't remember that it's Shabbat, and you ask yourself, why am I bothering so much? Is this Shabbat? Is that the blessing? If you can't feel the blessing, it means that the blessing is not there. You need to break through the curtains of religion to find Hashem. You need to find your soul. If your soul is turned off and you're in the middle of the synagogue and you can't feel anything, you need to go and break your heart to pieces and ask yourself why. You know why you can't feel anything in the synagogue? Because when you're in the synagogue, you're trapped between people, opinions, and everyone are more fancy and having more, how you call those wigs?
Shaitels.
Costumes, no? Everyone behind their fancy, expensive costumes, and everyone are hiding and dressing, and everyone are going to the synagogue like it's an event, like a wedding, and everyone are investing. And now you need to play part. You need to be part of this show. And to show, to act, to play, it's not to be honest. So how can you pray when you're not honest? Dover Shkarim lo ikon lenegad enayim. A person that is lying cannot stand in front of Hashem. Only when you're a person of truth, you can pray. Your prayer will be accepted only when you're honest. When you need to fake it, when you need to show, to pretend, to make other people like you, you're a slave. You're a slave in your own imagination. You serve people's opinion. You're afraid to get into their mouths. But they can throw my kids from the community. All my kids been kicked out of the community. That was their salvation. That was their redemption. Now they know that there is a world. Now they are not living in a box. Now their mind is open. Now they know that you can communicate. Now they know how to shake a hand. Now they know how to say Shalom Aleichem and to be proud. Now they're able to talk. They learned English in 1 year. My tiny Israel Natan, in 1 year, he speaks perfect English. It's amazing. And what is he doing with this English? He's not cursing. He's not swearing. He's blessing. And he's learning. And he's talking. And his heart is beating. Not only his. Because we are trying to find the truth. And when you seek for something, you'll find it. Not all the children needs to be the same. There are children that are tall like a giraffe. And you have some small fat ones that are like a hippo. And you need to respect those ones, and you need to admire those ones. And they're amazing. Even if they cannot jump, the forest wouldn't be as beautiful only with cheetahs and only with lions and with the noble predators. No. The forests and the zoos and the gardens and the fields and the deserts are beautiful only because of the wide range of that beautiful rainbow of options, that you have so many species in the forest, in the savanna, in the desert, in the different lands. That's what makes nature so beautiful. If all your children will be so educated, and everyone will be lawyers, everyone will be doctors, everyone will be I don't know what, that's a nonsense, that's a crazy world. It's not the real natural reason of our creation. Like that our faces are different, our characters are different. One has a passion for art. One likes clean things. One likes everything to be messy. And he will find the grace and the beauty in that mess. And that's his natural zone. That's his natural place. And he needs to have the freedom to choose on his own. And you as a good parent must give... I see all those ones that doesn't know how to wash their houses. I was so happy. My destiny, not washing my socks anymore. Free to go. I'm going to stamp on it. That's it. Great. You're going to run from your own house. Don't worry. You're going to call me soon. I'm not worried. In reality... you have your nature, and all your children, they have their nature. Every one of us is different. Every one of us is holding pearls and diamonds. Those are the qualities and the talents and the blessings, the senses, the powers that the Creator treasured inside of us. You are you, and you will never be someone else. And you cannot give up on that you, because that's who you are. And just to block it, and to steal it, and to cover it, and to hide it, and to ignore it, and to deny it, won't do no good. It's screaming from inside, and it's tearing your heart to pieces. And that's why you hate your life, and that's why you blame yourself, and that's why you can't stand your company, and that's why you can't stand your friends, and that's why you're not managing in a relationship, and that's why you feel trapped in your own house, and you can't understand because everything is so well designed and brand new, and you brought people to do all the job for you, and you're not happy. You know why? Because you gave up on your dream as a child to climb mountains, to run in the fields, to play ball, to go to the beach, to swim, to be happy. And I'm not talking about empty life. You think that those experiences are empty. Oh, but he needs a profession. He needs to learn. He needs to be wise. He needs to be educated. Great, I'll tell you. When a kid finishes running in a certain age, then he is passionate to learn. But if he won't run when he's a child, he will always gonna miss it, and he will never be quiet, even in the university, even when he'll be married, he will always gonna look for a reason to run out from the house. Why? Because he was not running enough when he was a child. When you will finish the early ages, stages of your life, you're gonna pass to the next. You're going to grow. You're going to climb from one floor to the next, and you're going to achieve the heights finally, but you must let yourself grow. Means that you must accept yourself, your sense of humor, your childish character, your things that today you're so critical and criticizing yourself, and you blame yourself for being like who you are. You must set it free. You must allow yourself to laugh. You must allow yourself to hear that music, to go back and to see those movies from your childhood. It's going to heal you. It's going to provide what that you miss if you're going to allow yourself to smell the flowers again, to go and look at the sunset or the sunrise again, to walk hand in hand with the ones that you love. It's going to bring you back to who you are. It's going to heal your sick and broken spirit. They've been abused for years by negative people that didn't set themselves free from their own prison and took you into their prison to be afraid and terrified and worried and never know what will be. The number of wonders and miracles that we all saw in our lives is above our ability to count. We cannot understand how many wonders we saw in our lives, how many miracles. How many things that we thought are coincidence. How many times you wanted to call someone and he just dialed you. How many times you wanted to buy something and it was the first thing on the shelf. How many times you wanted to talk to someone and you ran into him in the street. How many times you were thinking about something and this crazy Rabbi Dror is talking about that concept on YouTube. Suddenly, how can it be? If not that there is a supervisor that is working so hard behind the curtains to bring you back to life, to bring us back to reality, to the reality of our true potential, that we are spiritual, that we can achieve the heights, that we can fulfill all our dreams, that all our dreams can come true. That's the redemption, that's the salvation. That is what that will take place when the third temple will come down to earth. All our dreams will come true. Means that the wide world will be perfect. Everything will be fixed. Your dreams all will be answered. Your dreams all will be answered. All your hopes will be answered. All your holy good desires will come true. Because the Creator will reveal the true nature of His desire to give. And He's not lack of a thing. He just needs us to be connected to the truth for Him to wire, for Him to communicate. Because He cannot stand in one place with a liar. Why? Why liars are so awful? You have such horrible people in the streets. A liar, you chose, you handpicked the liar from all the evil people. Why liars are so bad? Why the Creator can stand so many vicious people, so many ways of cruelty, and liars He cannot see with His eyes. Why? Why the liars? Because the liars, while they're lying, they themselves are blocking Hashem's face because He is the truth. When you are lying, even on a small matter, I'm asking you, do you have it? And you do, and you say no. In that moment, you denied the truth. Means that you blocked heaven. Because heaven, the Creator, God, He is the truth. Hashem Elokim Emet. Hashem Elokichem Emet. Your God is the God of truth. Means that the creation, with all of its complicity, with all of its details, with all of how sophisticated and complex it is, with all of the details, is only reflecting one truth of His existence.
And while you are alive, even in a small manner, you're just blocking one beam of light. While doing it, you are blocking that light from healing you. Because that truth is needed. Maybe not for you, maybe you don't feel it. But it's needed for someone else. That's why they ask you. That's why this question came to you. But because that you are standing, like that story on Adam and Eve, in life, with a selfish desire, because you are now afraid, because you feel that you did something wrong, so now you choose to lie. Because you want to defend yourself. You want to protect yourself. You don't want to be hurt. Only because that you chose already to be selfish. Only because that you let your fears already take place in your life. And now it's a snowball that is growing and growing and becoming dangerous. That it's drying you out. That it's soaking out the passion for life from you. And that's why you feel so dry. And you don't know what to do in your mornings. And you hate yourself in the evenings. And you want to break the world at nights. It's coming because of your lack of communication with your true self. And you don't need to make fantastic meditations for that. And you don't need to climb the highest mountains and not to cross the sea and not to go and cry your heart out in front of the Western Wall. The Creator lives inside of you. Betoch ami anochi yoshavet, inside my people, I live, Hashem is saying. Asuli mikdash v'shachanti betocham. From the time that we made and built the temple, He lives inside of us. Your soul is a godly soul. Is a chelek eloka mimal, portion of heaven from above, lives inside of you. God created a channel. And through that channel, it's your source of life. If you're alive, you're holding it. You have it. It's yours. You are channeled to heaven from within. The way to bring out that bounty is by holding the truth, by saying the truth, being an honest person. Ask yourself, am I being honest now, or that I'm hiding, or that I'm denying, or that I'm making up, or that I'm lying? Am I being truthful now? Am I being loyal now? Am I being nice now? When you are representing the good is being channeled by you. You become a vessel to hold the holiness of the Creator Himself. You're going to shine the world. You will become a person of God, like that Moses became Ish HaElokim, the man of God. When people looked at him, they saw God. They couldn't see him. They couldn't look at him because of the brightness of his light. He was shining. You couldn't see him. He disappeared because he was a man of truth. He went with his truth. And if you think that it was because that he was Moses, oh, now you're bringing Moses. I'll tell you, Moses was a flesh and bones person. He was a regular person. But he dedicated his life for a purpose. If you think to yourself that Moses was something else, you are wrong. You are idolizing Moses. That's exactly what another religion is doing with their Messiah. Dreaming that he was something else. No, no, no. There's only one thing else, and it's the Creator. That he's above this creation. Only he is outside physicality. But all the creations are holding his essence as a seed, as a core, as a heart inside of them. Those ones that are breaking their physical nature will reveal that seed, and it will grow and will shine a spiritual light out to the world, and people will recognize the godliness in them. And those ones that will choose to enjoy physicality will hide the godliness that is treasured inside of them, and it will go with them to grave after 70, 80, 120 years. But if you will be brave to to reveal your true nature, you will never drop the truth. And you will become higher than an angel. And you're not going to fall off the derech, the path of Judaism. And you won't stop going and praying. You will start praying from the heart. You will start understanding the real meaning that is written in the verses. You will understand one thing from the other. You're going to learn Torah while walking with your soulmate, hand in hand in the grocery store. You'll be so happy that you will find the answer to every question while walking, while thinking. The Creator will call angels to supply your needs, to answer your prayers. The path will be always open for us. Now that's the solution for my earlier problem, if you remember. The problem is that we gave up on our dreams and we're not allowed to do that. We must keep on dreaming on a complete and fixed world that you will do what you think you need to do in this world and your friend will do what he thinks that he needs to do in this world. And that's how the wide world will become perfect, will be fixed completely. Because I cannot fix everything. Even if I will fix myself completely, I can only affect as much power that the Creator gave me. I'm not able to run all the offices in the world and to make sure that all the patients of all the departments in all the hospitals of all nations in all languages go. I cannot do that. We need to appoint the right people to the administration, to be the manager, to be the in charge, to be on top. Every person has his own location. He has his destiny. And the right ones to be doctors should be doctors. And the bakers, they should be bakers. And if you're going to put a baker in a pharmacy store, it won't work. If you're going to put a person that likes the roads and he is a natural born truck driver, you're going to appoint him to be a lawyer, he will break the office to pieces. He won't make it. He will hate his job. The suit will be too tight for him. It won't be a natural thing. His parents can put him in prison for life in that office. That God forbid he won't be a truck driver. They want a lawyer in the family. And they will kill their own child. Burying him alive in an office. Sentenced for death, for life. But you can break those chains by not dropping off your dreams. And letting people around you, your beloved ones, your surrounding, and especially your children, the ability to reveal their true potential. Not everyone should be scholars. Not everyone should be Talmidei Chachamim. Not everyone should be holy righteous ones that are guarding their eyes and praying in front of the I don't know what. Not everyone has the same destiny. Some people have the nature and they'll find true happiness running a grocery store, designing shoes, climbing the Everest, taking amazing footage of nature. The geese are crossing to Africa in the middle of the winter. Everyone has his destiny. And we need those calendars with the amazing pictures for our living room. And we need those amazing people to design our clothes for the events, because we need to go to shul, of course. We need everyone to hold their position. We need everyone to be happy. And when everyone will find themselves, and it can start only when you will work hard to find your true self, to find your true destiny, and to achieve it one step after the other, slowly, slowly, building yourself, but not giving up on your true self. When you will do that, you're going to affect that magnificent light to your surroundings, and they will not want to be like you. They will see in you a source of inspiration for themselves to fulfill their dreams. They don't want to be who you want to be. They want to learn from you that you were fighting to achieve your things. They want to learn and receive that power from you to become themselves, to achieve their own dreams. And then their dreams will be fulfilled and come true. And it's in our power. And the first step is to live our own lives, to be who we really are. The way to do that again is by being honest, saying the truth, confronting our fears, not letting fear control our lives and shutting us off completely, to rebel, to fight. Yes, to fight. Not to be scared, not to be afraid, and to go with your natural power to shine your light, the light that is shining through you out to the world. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.